All right, Craig, thank you. 6:06, let's call it, on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018 is the date. Glad to have you with us. We're here all the way till 7 o'clock. Matt Hoy is here. You can follow his thinkings and writings and all sorts of things on his very popular blog at hoystory.com. And he starts off with breaking news from In-N-Out. Matt, good evening.
Apparently, you can now buy hot chocolate at In-N-Out.
All right. All right. And that's their first new item in how long?
Let's say a decade.
But now the key question is, what's the magic name for hot chocolate? Because you can't just say hot chocolate. It's got to have...
Yeah. secret menu, hot chocolate with...
What do you call it?
Mushrooms and chocolate flakes. I don't know.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good to see you.
Good to be seen.
Is it just me or is it... We'll start locally. We'll get to the topic. The Tribune hasn't announced their new editor yet.
I haven't seen an announcement.
Because Sandra Dorr announced her retirement. She's retired.
Effective a couple weeks ago.
Teaching at Cal Poly, and we wish her the best and acknowledge her contribution to local journalism. But you would think by now that they would have announced a new editor. You hearing anything?
Well, and it's not like she resigned as a surprise.
Right.
She had announced it 6 months ago about, I believe, that she was planning on...
A couple months easily, yeah.
That should give you plenty of time for... You know, a newspaper of this size, part of a newspaper group as large as McClatchy is, you know, they've got to have a ton of internal candidates vying for this. I'm not exactly sure what the pay range is, you know, versus...
Sandy was making good money.
Versus, you know, how much it costs to live here.
She was making really good money.
Well, but, you know, there's a question of is the paper still making good money? And you had, you know, I mean, you told me they cut down the two local columnists last year from once a week to every other week to save $40 a month or something. And if you're worried about $40 a month costing you on, you know, for local content, that's not a good sign.
So I'm just surprised. And I'm wondering if maybe McClatchy's trying to figure out what they want to do with the Tribune. In terms of digital versus, I don't know. I think we could agree, Matt, that we both want only the best for the Tribune.
Yes.
Because the Tribune is the paper of record in the county.
Yes.
And we depend on them.
Yes, we certainly do. And, you know, there's long been a question of how you make money on the web. And I don't think anyone's really solved it yet.
Washington Post is doing okay.
Well, they make it through subscriptions and they have a paywall. It used to be pretty easy to get past the Tribune's paywall. It's a little bit more difficult now. If you've got the willingness, you can get past it.
Just go to the app.
The app will get you past it. There's other ways. There's other ways to get past it that, you know, you're going to have to find those for yourself. I won't tell you how to do it, but or whether it's through advertising. And frankly, the thing that has killed kind of journalism the most over the past decade was Craigslist. All those one ads that, you know.
And Radio Tradio swapped me on the air. we took a bite out of it, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, that was the majority of the money they made. I mean, they made some from, you know, display advertising and from businesses and that sort of stuff. And usually your newspaper subscription generated enough basically to pay to have it delivered to you. It didn't make the paper much more than that, a tiny bit, but not much. But it was Craigslist and free one ads online and being able to sell yourself stuff that way that really did the most damage to newspapers over the past 15, 20 years.
So we're just celebrating the fact that In-N-Out now has a new menu item, hot chocolate, and we're just kind of wondering why the Tribune hasn't announced a new editor yet. We're just kind of putting it out there. I'm hoping that they bring Tad Weber back from Fresno. Tad Weber was the number two in the newsroom for a couple years, and then he was promoted to Fresno as, I think, the number two. It'd be kind of cool if he came back to San Luis. He's a good guy. Honest, ethical, well-liked in the newsroom. That'd be my choice, but who knows?
But you don't have much sway over there.
I have zero sway. My dog has more sway at the Tribune than I do. So, speaking of the Washington Post, we were going to talk about Trump and the media, but we got to spend at least some time commenting on the bizarre events of the last 24 hours. So here are the three headlines in the Washington Post right now online. Trump and Bannon's winning partnership pivots to bitterness. Second headline, Trump castigates Bannon. Quote, he's lost his mind. Third headline, Trump portrayed in the new book as uninformed, unprepared, and lacking focus. And now in fairness, the Washington Post includes a fourth article that questions whether or not we should believe the author Michael Wolff, because I guess he's controversial. Let's start with your general take on the whole event of the day.
I think I agree with all four of those headlines. Bannon is a piece of work. I never much liked him. I think that Trump is right that he's in it for himself. Of course, you know, Trump's in it for himself. I think if Andrew Breitbart were still alive, that he would be shocked. If he were brought back to life today, he would be shocked at what Breitbart.com has become under Bannon's leadership. I think Bannon had probably the most influence in kind of semi-normalizing the so-called alt-right and bringing that, which may have kind of been the ugly stepsister that no one talked about in the Republican Party, and bringing that to the fore and promoting it. I don't like Bannon. I don't like Trump. I don't think Trump's qualified for the office. He's done quite a bit of good stuff that I probably didn't expect of him in his first year. But, you know, the fact that he was uninformed, unprepared, and lacking focus, I believe all that. It's not hard to believe. You don't have to be Michael Wolff sitting in the on a sofa in the West Wing to realize that coming in, Trump was uninformed, unprepared, and lacking focus. It was apparent to anyone who watched the news.
And I would also point out that Bannon has not said that anything in the Wolff book or anything being reported in the Wolff book is untrue. I was taken out of context. I didn't say that. He's not denying any of it.
Not that I've seen, but you know, it's. I think Bannon and Trump are kind of two peas in a pod as far as their attitudes go. Trump fired Bannon. Bannon is, I'm sure, very bitter, and this doesn't surprise me.
And just put it in context, here's Politico.com. The investigation led by special counsel Robert Mueller is zeroing in on money laundering and individuals with close ties to President Trump. Former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon said in an interview for a forthcoming book, a particular interest to Mueller's team, Bannon said, are Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., and his son-in-law and senior aide, Jared Kushner. Quote, they're going to crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV, Bannon said in interviews for the forthcoming book, Fire and Fury Inside the White House by Michael Wolff. And even though the book doesn't come out until next week, there are excerpts from the book all over the place. Quote, Bannon, you realize where this is going. This is all about money laundering. Mueller chose prosecutor Andrew Weissman first, and he is a money laundering guy. The path to effing Trump goes right through Paul Manafort, Dodd Jr., and Gerald Kushner. It's as plain as a hair on your face. Pretty damning stuff there, Matt.
Pretty damning stuff. I'm not sure I believe much of it, because the appointment, you know, this discussion with this Russian lawyer that occurred, that's supposed to kind of be the basis for some of this, occurred before Bannon was ever on Trump's staff. It was during the primaries. Bannon didn't come on with Trump's campaign until the general election.
He wasn't around.
So how he knows this is, you know, whether he knows this or whether he's just making stuff up out of whole cloth, I'm not sure.
So what do you think Bannon's agenda would be?
Bannon's agenda is making sure everyone hears about Bannon and finding ways to make himself more famous and more money.
Right. And then what's Trump's agenda in terms of
Trump's agenda is all about Donald Trump and making Donald Trump more famous and more popular and eventually making himself more money.
Right. Now, and the other thing to point out on this is that this guy, Michael Wolff, was invited into the White House by Donald Trump. He was given all this access to staff. He claims to have interviewed close to 200 interviews that he did with staff members. He was there on a daily basis for an extended period of time.
Yes, and that just shows you that Donald Trump was a political novice.
Explain.
Well, you look at Michael Wolff's previous stuff, and he is not the type of guy that you want kind of in the White House with free rein talking to people, because he's got an agenda. And guess what, Donald Trump? His agenda isn't your agenda. And it shouldn't take a genius to figure that out. But I suspect all Wolf had to say, oh, you know, was, hey, I'm here for you. I want to help you succeed. I want to tell the story of your brilliance and your genius. And Donald Trump just laps that up.
So this wasn't Bob Woodward by any shade of comparison.
It's not Bob Woodward.
So this guy came in. I mean, he wrote extensively about Hollywood. You know, he's written for New York Magazine. Yeah. He's written for Vanity Fair. And Trump just brought him into the White House.
Yeah, and you know, just reading that excerpt that New York Magazine has published, you know, there's some fact-checking issues in it, because in there, very early on, it talks about how it was suggested that maybe Trump wanted John Boehner for his chief of, you know, should hire John Boehner, former Speaker of the House, right, as his chief of staff. And allegedly, to show Trump's ignorance, he says, who's John Boehner? Well, the problem is Trump had played golf with Boehner for years. If you go back and you search Google and you use Google to search Twitter, he tweeted about John Boehner. He knew who John Boehner was. So is this an accurate quote and Trump's being coy somehow? Or is this, again, something where you talk about Michael Wolff has a history of just making some stuff up?
Matt Hoy on Hometown Radio. His website is hoystory.com. We'll come back and chat some more. Welcome your phone call. Stick around for the conversation. This is KVEC News Talk 920 and FM 96.5. All right, we got the big news of the day. In-N-Out now has hot chocolate. Matt Hoy is here. We're also wondering why the Tribune hasn't announced their new editor yet, because you know us, we're conspiracy theorists. We got to sit around. We're also going to scratch our heads at the news of the day out of the Washington, D.C. There's this explosive new book coming out next week by Michael Wolff, who in and of himself is a controversial journalist, but Trump apparently let him in, and he had all this access to the White House, and he's written some pretty damning accusations. I don't know. Kind of like as Matt is pointing out here, well, if this is true, how do you explain this? But at the end of the day, Matt, is this going to change anything?
I don't think it changes anything.
Liberals are going to embrace it and go, aha, here's proof. We told you. And conservatives are going to find some way to discredit it.
Or just ignore it. And, you know,
how do you ignore this?
Well, the same way they ignore anything else they don't like. I mean, and this happens on both sides, is, you know, if it's information that does not fit with your preconceived notions or your what the way you would like to perceive the world, then you just, you know, just ignore it.
Does Trump need Breitbart to succeed with his agenda?
Question is, what's Trump's agenda?
Well, we get there, but I mean, does he need the support of Breitbart?
I don't know,
because
if he
clearly
does.
This relationship is damaged given this exchange.
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure that Breitbart is the power it once was.
I mean, you have the President of the United States saying that Steve Bannon essentially has lost his mind. That's not an endorsement of the website.
It's you know, takes one to know one. I don't know. I'm not sure that he needs Breitbart. I'm not sure, you know, he needs much more than the bully pulpit that is the presidency.
And if you're Sean Hannity, which direction do you go in?
Oh, Sean Hannity is attached to Donald Trump's, yeah.
But he was also attached to Breitbart for a long time.
I think Hannity will go with the stronger horse. Mm.
So let's talk a little bit about the media and the original topic that we were going to pursue about how the national media portrays the Trump administration. And you wanted to point out the fact that if you look at Trump's first year in office, he's had some accomplishments.
He's had a reasonable amount of success.
What would you point to?
Well, again, the first thing is Gorsuch on the Supreme Court.
Right.
This tax bill that you had passed is pretty good from his standpoint. His goal, and again, this gets to, I'm personally of the opinion that Donald Trump will will sign whatever's put in front of him that he can portray as a win.
Right.
He's about winning. What the specifics or the nuances or the details of that are, I'm not sure he cares. His big stand on the tax bill was he wanted, you know, the corporate rate has to be 20%. It's not. I believe it's 22 in the final bill that they passed. And that was, you know, again, some give and take in the within the Republican Party that extended the amount of the child tax or raised the amount of child tax credit. And the give back was a couple percentage points on what Donald Trump says was his, you know, his main priority.
All right. But his accomplishments in your mind, one, he got the Supreme Court justice. Two, the idea of the tax reform passed.
The tax reform passed. He's been good on rolling back some of these regulations that I think are unnecessary. You've got, you know, people screaming bloody murder that the EPA is the number of staffers at the EPA has been is dropped down. I think most Republicans, even ones who don't necessarily support Trump, would see that as a good thing.
So is that story getting out in the national media, the accomplishments of the Trump administration?
Stuff like the EPA isn't described as an accomplishment. That is something for everyone to be worried about. The diminishing regulations isn't seen as an accomplishment. That's something to be worried about. Things like, you know, he opened up drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I think that's a good thing.
So the media then tends to portray whatever Trump does in a negative light.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's cutting the EPA, and this is reason for concern, as opposed to he's cutting the EPA, and then this is why this is a good thing.
This bureaucracy had grown too bloated and was too cozy.
But don't you get that from Fox News and Breitbart and Drudge and the conservative outlets?
To a certain extent, but most people aren't watching Fox News or reading Breitbart or looking at Drudge. They're watching CNN. They're watching MSNBC. They're watching the big three major networks. I mean, one of the things that was really kind of you know, made me wonder what the heck's going on was when they were discussing this tax bill. You know, you're looking at the numbers and everything, and it looks like, you know, 80% plus people are going to get a tax cut. But when they surveyed, you know, they ran these polls surveying people, most people thought they'd either get nothing or their taxes would go up.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. Hoystory.com is his website. We're talking about the media and the administration and the crazy events of today. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Here's the news. Tomorrow on this broadcast, we have Miss Etiquette reminding us of the importance of good manners. Steve Larian will preview upcoming shows at Cal Poly Arts, and maybe, just maybe, we'll give away some free tickets. Friday for the 26th anniversary broadcast, former State Senator Sam Blakesley will be here. Also live music from Louis Ortega. Mike Brown from Colab joins us a week from tonight. We're expecting fireworks at Tuesday's County Board of Supervisors meeting. If there's anybody left, Mike will talk about them. It's just going to be interesting. We are back with Matt Hoy. His website is Hoy, H-O-Y, hoystory.com. Celebrating the fact that In-N-Out has a new item, hot chocolate, to be precise. Also wondering a little bit why the Tribune hasn't announced their new editor yet since Sandy Doerr left and announced months ago that she was retiring. You'd think by now they'd name a new editor. I'm just kind of curious about it. We're also following the events of the day out of Washington, D.C., all this crazy stuff with the Michael Wolff book and Bannon going nuts and then Trump saying that essentially Bannon's out of his mind. You want to end the conversation? And we're also talking about the media and the media portrayal of the Trump administration. 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. So you think the media treats Trump unfairly, or is it just...
I think they are more unfair. They've let their kind of disdain for him personally infect their work.
Right. Right.
And, you know, you've got professional standards, supposedly, as a journalist, and they seem to, you know, there's the old phrase, too good to check. Well, nothing should be too good to check. I mean, that's kind of maybe what gets you interested
The news item is too good to check.
Right. Somebody said this, let's run with it, rather than verifying that it was actually said. And they just tie themselves into knots. There's an example about a month ago, Vice President Mike Pence, and when I talk about Trump, I'm talking about kind of his administration as a whole. But Vice President Mike Pence said that there were more people working today in America than at any time in American history. Now, that is a true statement. It is also a largely meaningless statement because the population continues to grow. And so the raw number, it's, you know, unless you've just undergone a recession or a depression or something like that, generally that's going to be true. It's going to be true again next month. It's going to be true again the month after that. Just because the population is growing, the number of jobs are increasing, so there are more people working than ever. So I would rate, you know, if I'm a fact checker, I would rate that true, because it's true, but meaningless. Well, the Washington Post fact checker gave Mike Pence 3 Pinocchios for it.
Well, and follow up on that, the Washington Post has come out with a survey in the last couple of days that it claims that the Trump administration, and Trump specifically, has made almost 2,000 false statements in his first year in office.
Would not surprise me. Would not surprise me at all. The thing is, you know, and PolitiFact.com does this sort of thing too, where they've got, you know, here's our report card. The problem that you get with some of this is the issue of selection bias, is what they choose to check. I will give anyone, you know, I will concede to anyone that Trump lies more than most, and that he is probably a uniquely dishonest person compared to most politicians we have. But these sorts of report cards that compare him to Hillary Clinton, or, you know, that compare one politician to another, they are useless because they're not comparing every statement they say. They are picking and choosing. And sometimes...
And are they doing that because they're biased against him, in your mind?
I think sometimes they're doing it because, oh, that's a juicy one and we know it's false. And I think other times there are statements that other politicians make that they... And I can point to cases where, you know, for example, Elizabeth Warren, you know, has claimed in the past that she has Native American ancestry. And that's turned out to be without basis in fact, but they won't say, when she says that, they say, well, here, find it out for your, you know, here's, let's lay everything out. You decide for yourself. They won't make a judgment.
Well, they tend to focus more on the fact that Trump dismisses her as Pocahontas. And they go more to the slur than they go to whether or not
is
it's true.
Is it a slur if you have self-identified and used supposed Native American ancestry to advance your career falsely? I mean,
I take your point. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832 if you wanted the conversation with Matt Hoy. But my original point was is that the media also has gone after Obama. They went after Clinton. I mean, we all remember Monica Lewinsky and that scandal.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. They went after Clinton. Here's an example. You had Politico broke a story about 2 weeks ago that is very interesting. Basically, the Politico story showed that in his effort to get the Iran deal done with Iran, President Obama quashed a multi-year operation with the CIA and the FBI into Hezbollah and drug trafficking, Middle East down into South America, bringing drugs into the United States. And they were lining up to make convictions. And Politico has this story. You can look it up. It's called "The Secret Backstory of How Obama Left Hezbollah Off the Hook." An ambitious U.S. task force targeting Hezbollah's billion-dollar criminal enterprise ran headlong into the White House's desire for a nuclear deal with Iran. It's by Josh Meyer.
I saw that.
It is heavily sourced. Yep. It's not using anonymous sources. Right. He's got people on the record for this, and You haven't heard anything about that on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN hasn't touched
the thing. But it's in Politico. But it's in Politico. It's out there. You're talking about it on my show.
If Trump had done that, it would be wall-to-wall coverage. And, you know, this is another thing, honestly, that a lot of these media organizations do. They'll get accused of not covering a story by people like me. And they'll say, well, look at this story that, you know, we ran on A6, and it's six column inches 2 weeks ago, as if that is the appropriate amount of coverage to give said story. And if, you know, the political parties were switched, that might be an A1 above the fold story.
An article I was reading recently talked about MSNBC, and it kind of underscores, I think, the argument you're trying to make, Matt, is that MSNBC specifically targets the anti-Trump voters, and their ratings have gone through the roof as a result. So their bias is appealing to that crowd.
Right.
So their analysts, their content are all geared towards driving home the message, Trump is screwing up again, Trump is doing wrong, because that is their niche of the audience.
And I won't necessarily criticize them for that, especially, you know, their opinion programs. When it leaks into the news programs, that worries me a little bit more. You know, getting into this, you know, issue of what does the coverage mean and what's fake news, there was an image going around Twitter earlier this morning of page A5 of today's Washington Post. This headline on this story is, "Superheroes might save the world, but they would wreck the environment," and features a picture of Spider-Man. This is not on an opinion page. It's not in the style section, kind of jokey, haha. It's on A5. I realize this is the slow time of the year for newspapers. I worked in newspapers long enough to realize that.
So what's the actual story about?
It's about the effect superheroes would have on the... Here's the lead. "At first glance, Miles Traer seems like any other scientist at the annual meeting of the American Geophysical Union. He wears an oversized identification bag on a lanyard around his neck and can discuss at length the role of water in planetary landscape transformation. But the Stanford University geologist has an alter ego, like a real-life Captain Planet, minus the blue skin. He beats back the forces of environmental destruction and holds a super powerful to account."
It's a human interest story.
Yeah. It's A5. It's super, and it's illustrated.
It's on page 5.
It's illustrated with a picture of Spider-Man.
But it's the Washington Post, though.
Exactly. It's not the slow Tribune. Right.
But back on the larger issue of Trump versus the media, doesn't Trump bring a lot of this on himself because he's picking fights? The article you have in Politico is that Trump wants to give out these fake news awards.
Which if he does it, will have the exact opposite. If he thinks that's going to shame them. No. They're going to wear that like a badge of honor. They're going to... I remember when I worked at the San Diego Union-Tribune, and we won a Pulitzer, and we put, you know, the very next day, right beneath the flag on the top of the A1, it was, you know, winner of the 2006 Pulitzer Prize for National Reporting.
Right.
These, you know, whoever's named, that's going to be their little thing.
Well,
you know,
remember,
received an award from Donald Trump for fake news reporting.
Dan Rather antagonized Richard Nixon all the way into the anchor chair at CBS. Sam Donaldson antagonized Ronald Reagan. I'm not sure who I could name for the other presidents, but those two jump out at me. I mean, you're absolutely right. They make a history of antagonizing.
Nixon's a little before my time, yeah, just for the record.
But Nick, Acosta, Jim Acosta, has been going after Trump a lot from CNN.
Acosta, I think.
Yeah.
Acosta.
And so there's an example of that.
Yeah. And I don't like when journalists do that because they're making themselves a story. And that shouldn't be the story. And I think Acosta's doing a lot of that. I think Dan Rather did a lot of that. And frankly, the fact that Dan Rather is still interviewed on some of these morning shows, including CNN's reliable sources, makes me cringe.
You don't like Dan Rather?
Dan Rather got caught by a story that was too good to check.
But it's probably a true story.
Except that the documents that were supposedly typed on a typewriter in 1968 perfectly match Microsoft Word.
I'm not defending that reporting, but I still think the story overall is true. Personal opinion. All right, Matt Hoy on this broadcast. HoyStory.com is his website. We'll come back for a final segment. I'm Dave Congleton. This is News Talk 920 FM 96.5 KVEC. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News, and then we have Buck Sexton with America Now, up-to-the-date analysis and commentary on the issues of the day. And don't forget to start your weekday mornings off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9, followed by Mr. Rush Limbaugh at 9, followed by Mr. Dave Ramsey at 12 noon, and Craig and I will be back at 3:05 with the Thursday edition of Hometown Radio. We're in a final segment with Matt Hoy, conservative blogger. His website is hoystory.com. If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Are you sure you're a conservative? You're not a fan of Breitbart. You're not a fan of Trump.
What I've told people is I kind of find myself in the same position as most of the staff at National Review magazine seems to be in, which was, you know, they famously ran that issue in the primaries, you know, which was a whole bunch of people saying against Trump was the big headline on that, the cover of that issue. And, you know, I was what you would have called one of those never Trumpers. But at this point, you know, a year ago, that became a moot point. He won the presidency. Now you've got to deal with the world as it is.
But do you like what he's done?
When he does good things, I will praise him and I will, you know, give him credit for those things. And when he does things I disagree with, I will criticize him for those.
But in terms of policy?
It's policy. It's how he aligns with my beliefs. So, you know, all in all, I'm not a huge – I think that the tax bill was an accomplishment for him. I think it was an accomplishment for the Republican Party. Personally, I'm a bit more of a economic conservative, and I worry about the estimated $1.5 trillion this adds to an already huge national debt. And I worried about that when George W. Bush was in office. I worried about that when Barack Obama was in office, and I worry about that now. And so as far as the policy goes, I'm consistent on that.
Craig, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what policy is it that you don't like? You say you praise and you criticize, but you seem to be praising a lot. What is the policy? I'm not talking any personal stuff like
right.
Style. Policy exclusively.
Or is what it the style you like? That you don't like?
Well, I definitely don't like the style.
Okay.
From a policy standpoint, I think the way that he has attempted to implement the changes in immigration have been poorly done and poorly managed. I'm not sure how much they're worth. You know, six countries that you are going to restrict from getting green cards or visas here. You know, that seems probably a little overbroad. But on the flip side of that, you know, I kind of get on his side because you've got all these judges who are legislating. They are coming after him based, and they're saying these are anti-Muslim, even though there's no mention of religion in the directives, and they are bringing in campaign statements that were made as evidence of malice, which has never before been allowed by anybody. I mean, if campaign statements can make a law invalid, then the Affordable Care Act is bad because Obama said you could keep your doctor. He said you'd get a $2,500 reduction in your premiums and you could keep your plan, and that the penalty wasn't a tax.
So you're for the fact that he has the power to do that.
I think he does have the power to do that.
And possibly he should, but you don't like the implementation was...
It has been poor.
It's poor, but
to
still,
say the least.
But what about the policy itself to take those top six countries that Obama had shown to be unreliable and unsafe through their vetting process?
I don't think it's worth his time. I think he can be doing other things. Now, frankly, based on kind of the way he does things, I think... One of those other things, I think he should spend as much time on the golf course as he wants. And I think we'd all be better off if the Republicans in Congress could get their act together and give him bills, because I think he just put it on his desk, he's going to sign it.
Why do you want him on the golf course?
Because then he isn't on Twitter. I don't think he's doing a whole lot. That tax bill was mainly done by Congress and came through Congress, and it wasn't like he was hands-on with that thing. It was dropped on his desk. What worries me a little bit is come this year, you're going to have an election, and it's very possible that Democrats take over the House. It's a little bit more of a long shot that they take the Senate, but that's a possibility too. And then,
you sure you're conservative? He claims to be a conservative.
I'm worried they're going to put on his desk and if he's going to sign it.
You claim to be a conservative.
I don't know if I believe it. I don't like Trump. Well, he does everything good, but I don't like the way he does it. You know, you're on both sides of the fence on this.
Well, I was promised when, you know, if we elected a Republican president, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, that they would repeal the Affordable Care Act. Did that happen?
Who did you support for president?
I was a Ted Cruz guy.
All right.
I would have settled for Marco Rubio. Somebody asked me before the Republican primary in 2015 really started up who I would prefer. And this was before Trump announced. I said, look, I don't want Jeb Bush because I'm sick and tired of this legacy stuff on both sides of the aisle. This, you know, political families. I didn't like Jeb Bush. I don't like John Kasich. I think he's a rhino of the first order, Republican in name only.
We get that.
For our listeners, some of them may not be familiar with that term. And Kasich's tendency to kind of question the religious suitability of anyone who doesn't agree with his political leanings.
So it sounds like you think the Republicans could be in trouble next fall.
I think the all the polling I've seen, again, you know,
because you know
in a lot of this case, yeah. it's generic Democrat.
Right.
Well, but run a generic Democrat.
Right. If the Democrats take the House, they're going to start impeachment proceedings.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Based on, I'd be curious to what they're based on, because they've already tried to run an impeachment bill that's based on, frankly, nothing. But that would be interesting. You'd have me on the radio a lot to talk about that.
during the run, the one-on-one run, did you think that Trump was going to win?
No, I did not think he was going to win. According to that article, you know, for Michael Wolff, he didn't think he was going to. Well,
oh, yeah,
he didn't. The article does not support that headline. The headline on that Michael Wolff article is
but reading the article, I got the impression that because Trump said to Melania, "Don't worry, it's almost over." Right? He said he was going to lose.
Yeah, Donald Trump didn't want to. The headline says Donald Trump didn't want to be president. If you read the story, I don't think that's supported. I think Donald Trump didn't think he was going to win.
As Matt Hoy puts together a final thought, let me thank Karen Kyle and Connie O'Henley and everybody who called in on Brush with Greatness. Great segment there. Thanks to Elon Funky Ballou and to Matt Hoy, who now has the final thought for us. Matt?
We survived 1 year. I think we'll survive another. Doom and gloom. Don't worry about it. It's.
Are you gonna buy the Michael Wolff book?
No.
Fire and Fury?
Maybe I can get a comp copy. You think I can get a comp copy?
Sure. You got hoystory.com. Is your website.
I'll contact him, see if I can get a comp copy.
All right, Matt. Thanks for coming by.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Crank, thanks for your help as always. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05 for the Thursday edition of Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. Here comes the rain.